Today, we'll have Tiffany's November trip report. That's coming up on this episode 260 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas and have lots of trip reports for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 260. Long time no see. I know y'all like these trip reports, but it has been difficult to put out episodes over the last several months for so many reasons. One, first of all, the parks were closed. You all know that. And then when they reopened, there were a few people traveling. I did a pre-trip report recently with somebody whose trip ended up getting canceled because a member of their group got COVID. So that didn't happen. The world, the country has been so heavy and it's hard to know what to say when things seem so serious. So I'm just going to get the episodes out as often as I can. And hopefully that'll be, you know, at least a couple a month, but we'll see what happens. So this is Tiffany. She just got back from a trip in November. She just got back, within the last week or so. So I hope that you will enjoy hearing about her time and doing holiday things in the parks and all that kind of stuff. It was really fun for me to listen to as somebody who isn't there right now. So I hope you enjoy. Here is Tiffany. Welcome to the podcast, Tiffany.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are talking on Friday, October 30th. When are you going to Disney World?
So we are going to drive down on Wednesday, November 4th.
Mm-hmm. Until when?
And then we are going to come back that following Monday on the 9th. We're going to drive back.
Where are you driving from?
We're driving from upstate South Carolina. So right in the upper corner. So it takes us a little bit longer than people that live lower, obviously. So it's going to be about an 8-hour drive.
Not too bad, though.
No, not at all.
Have you ever made that drive before?
Yes. We usually drive down every time we go to Disney. In February, I went for the Run Disney weekend for the Princess Half Marathon. And I was actually going to fly. And I had a bad feeling about it. And then right when I was driving to the airport, they actually canceled my flight. So I drove anyway.
Wow. Why did they cancel your flight?
So I got a text message. It was Frontier. And they sent a message saying that it was completely canceled, not just like rescheduled for weather. I didn't think the weather was too bad, but like, you know, they're just trying to be safe. And then actually as I was driving about 4 hours later, I got a text message telling me to check in for my flight. So I went and I looked, I logged on the Frontier and they actually ended up rescheduling it for later that day. And I actually called customer service because I wanted my money back because I did have confirmation that it was canceled and I never got my money back.
Hmm.
So yeah, I won't be trying. If we do ever fly again, it'll be Frontier. I prefer Southwest, but at our airport, they don't, Southwest doesn't leave from our airport.
Yeah.
For Orlando.
Right. That's a bummer. So your options are limited. So obviously this is not your first trip, but is it your first trip, since quarantine began?
It will be my first trip to Disney since quarantine has began. Yes.
Yeah. And okay, but you were last there in February. So are you like an annual pass holder, frequent traveler? What's your normal?
So I actually just signed up when I was there in February to be an annual pass holder because I was planning on running the Wine and Dine, the January Marathon, and the Princess. So we all know that got canceled. And when you're a pass holder, you could actually sign like register to race about a week or 5 days before the general public. So that was my main motivation. So I did get to sign up for all those races early and I got all the races that I wanted, but unfortunately they were canceled. Cause we actually planned on going in January too, but because that race is canceled, we're not going, but I am still going to go next February, even though it was canceled.
So this trip, this November trip, it was originally for a race and you just decided to go even without the race.
Yeah, so my husband and I are celebrating our belated 10-year anniversary. We went for our 10-year anniversary, or our honeymoon, and our anniversary was in July, but we decided to go ahead and do the wine and dine, and that was going to be part of our present to each other. And then when they canceled it, we pretty much decided that we still wanted to go as long as there was enough to do when they opened.
Well, happy 10-year.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's you and your husband on this trip. Is there anyone else or just the two of you?
No, it's just us, and my daughter's giving me major grief about it. She's making me feel bad.
Parents have to do things too.
I know. That's what I tried telling her. It's like, it's been 10 years, honey. I think it's time.
Yeah. She'll get over it. Happy parents make, you know, are good parents.
Yeah. Luckily, my son, I don't think he understands yet. He's only 3, but she's 6, so she understands a little more.
Well, she's learning that you're a separate person from her now.
Yeah.
Okay. So you and your husband are going, and it's your first trip, like, you know, recently. So how are you feeling about traveling in the current times?
I'm fine with it. So my husband and I are actually in healthcare. So I was talking about this with my friends. I don't think, because not a lot in our lives have changed, because we've been working the whole time and my kids have had to go to school and daycare, that I don't have as many reservations as other people who are able to quarantine completely. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable with all the safeguards that Disney has put in place, and I've just been following your blog and your trips, and I feel really comfortable going.
I think it's an important point, because I think people that are quarantined and then want to go right to a theme park are going to have a lot of stress, because that's kind of a big adjustment. But you've been kind of out and about in the world doing it safely, and this is just going to be an extension of that, it sounds like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we already, you know, have to wear a mask at work, so I don't even give that a second thought anymore. It's just second nature. So the mask don't bother me, and I'm already used to the temperature checks, because we have to temperature check at work. So it's just going to be just like my life is now, really.
Yeah, except for not, you won't have to work. You'll be having fun.
Yes, I'll be relaxed.
Yeah. Okay, so where are you guys staying?
So we had originally planned to stay at Coronado in a tower room for the whole time. But because they released really good annual pass discounts and we got our money back for like the canceled race, and that we had some experiences booked that were canceled and they don't have it this time, we decided to do a split stay. So we are going to stay at Coronado Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday. And then we're actually staying at the Contemporary with the Lakeview room on Saturday night and Sunday. So it's going to be our first split stay and the first time at the Contemporary.
Okay. That'll be fun. Coronado and Contemporary split. Are those both new resorts to you?
In February, I stayed at Coronado, but in the Ranchos area. So I've walked through the tower, but I've never stayed in the tower. So I didn't want to give that up. I still want to experience the tower because it looked beautiful, but I couldn't pass up getting the Contemporary at a great rate.
Yeah. And it's true. It's like the Grandestino Tower is almost separate. It's so different than the other part of Coronado Springs.
Yeah, completely different look.
Yeah. So I hope you like it, but you'll have to let us know what you think. Okay. So you have an annual pass, right? You said?
Yes.
Okay. So we know you're going to be using your annual pass for your tickets. So did you make dining reservations for this trip?
I did. So on Wednesday, we don't have any park passes. So I think we're just going to kind of walk around Disney Springs. I don't know what time we're going to get there, because we're not quite sure when we're leaving yet. Or possibly I might be able to get in at Three Bridges at Coronado. I was hoping for Toledo, but it's definitely not going to be open for our trip. So we're going to possibly do Three Bridges, but they don't take reservations. On Thursday, when we go to Epcot, we have lunch at Le Cellier. I probably said that wrong, but
no, you did. It's correct.
We have lunch. And then Friday, we have Hollywood Studios lunch at the Brown Derby. So we've never been there. We've never been to Le Cellier. And then on Saturday, I wanted to get Sanaa, but I tried to book it right when our 60 days. was up and I couldn't get it. So as of right now, we have Raglan Road for 7:15, but that's when Animal Kingdom was closing at 5. So they recently extended the hours of our trip. So I might cancel that and just eat in the park somewhere and get the Sanaa to go, since they're going doing the to-go orders now. Mm-hmm. We might just get that and just relax at the room. And then Sunday, we're going to Magic Kingdom. And I originally had a 6:45 reservation for California Grill, which we've also never been to. But then they extended those hours to 9. So then I made another one for 9:15. So I'm trying to decide what I should do, since we could walk back and forth mm-hmm. from the Contemporary to Magic Kingdom, if we should keep the California Grill at 6:45 and walk back, or if that would be cutting it close and just go at 9:15.
Yeah, I think a perk to the 6:45 one, and you'll have to check the sunset times, but would be the mm-hmm. possible sunset. We do have a time change this weekend, which is going to change the sunset time. So anyway, I like sunset at California Grill's pretty, especially because there's no fireworks view there right now. You know, it's kind of nice to have some kind of view, but 9 o'clock obviously would be the end of the day. So there's that.
I am looking forward to the view of the castle with the holiday lights that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Since we can't get our fireworks, that's what our best that we could do right now. So I'm excited about that.
Yes. And don't forget to go out on that balcony, because when we were there, they didn't tell people, feel free to go out there or anything. They didn't, say anything. So I'm telling you, feel free to go out on their balcony so you can get those pictures. They used to be so proactive about it when it was fireworks. You know, mm-hmm. they'd say, hey, you can head out there at such and such time for fireworks. And now they just kind of stay quiet since the fireworks aren't taking place. But
right.
Still pretty.
Yeah. So, but we're looking forward because we, some of the experience haven't come back yet. We're already planning when we want to go back.
Yeah. It's going to be a totally different experience than you used to. Yeah, so you normally repeat a trip to Disney World. It's like, oh, let's try this new thing they just announced. And now it's really, it's like a new experience, and hopefully some of the normal stuff will come back.
Yeah.
But how are you planning differently for this trip? Like, are you still doing the same sort of strategy you used to, or do you have a different approach?
So we decided that 2 of the 4 park days we're going to sleep in, which is something we never do on a park day. So I think we're just going to have to, because part of this trip is to just relax, even though that sounds funny to go to Disney and relax. So I was thinking we might sleep in Thursday when we go to Epcot and Saturday when we go to Animal Kingdom. And as you know, with Hollywood Studios, we planned on getting there before they opened anyway, and now they changed the Rise of Resistance boarding pass mm-hmm. routine. So we have to be up anyway at 7 to try to snag a boarding pass. So we definitely can't sleep in that day. So I think that's kind of odd. And then also, of course, we don't have fast passes. So we're just going to try to just really take it easy this time and just take in our surroundings.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time to do that. You know, if you're normally a go person, it's a good time to not do that. That boarding group thing is going to make it easier.
Yeah, but I feel bad because I know that I am going back in February with my friend and not my husband. So if I don't get a boarding group, I know I have a chance not too far away, but I'll feel bad if we don't get one and my husband can't go on it. We're not Star Wars fans, but we could definitely appreciate the ride and the technology. So I am excited, even though I'm not a Star Wars fan.
You will get the boarding group. We're going to put that out there.
Okay. We're going to put that out into the universe. I will get the boarding group.
You are going to get it. And your husband's going to get to enjoy it with you, and you're going to get to do it in February.
Oh yes. That'd be awesome. So,
okay. Do you have any other plans or information about this trip that we haven't talked about yet?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Well, make sure you note on your reservations that it's your anniversary, even though it's not technically still your anniversary, and maybe something special will happen.
I know. I'm secretly hoping I'll get some pixie dust and we'll get a theme park view room for the Contemporary, because I have a lake view, which looks really pretty, but I won't be mad if we get a theme park room.
Yes, that would be fun. Well, let us know how it goes, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome back from your trip, Tiffany.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So you and I are talking on Friday the 13th. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I know. I'm so scared.
But you've been back for 4 days now, I think.
Yes, we got back on Monday.
So how are you feeling about it all?
I'm very sad, and I have the Disney blues, and just thinking about the next time we get to go is what gets me through. I start planning for the next trip to make myself feel better.
Well, that's a good sign that this trip must have gone okay if you're looking forward to the next one. Let's walk through it. So you told us you were going to be there from November 4th through the 9th, driving from South Carolina.
Yes, so, upstate.
Yes, upstate South Carolina. How did the trek to Disney World go?
It went great. I wanted to drive my daughter, you know, to school so I could say goodbye. So we didn't mess around. We drove her to school. And then came home, said goodbye to my son, and we got gas and brought water with us, because that's, you know, waters can be expensive at Disney, so we bring cases of water with us. But we drove pretty much straight through. We only stopped one time, so we made it in 8.5 hours, because we just had like that one quick stop. So that's the nice thing about, you know, two adults versus when you have your children with you. Mm-hmm. You could just pretty much drive it straight through with one bathroom break and gas fill up.
Yeah, fewer people to have to consider en route. So you got there and you checked into Coronado Springs at Grand Destino Tower, right?
Yes. And we got there, I think, at like between 5 and 6, but I had already had the room ready text message at 3 p.m. And so that was nice knowing that our room would be ready before we got here. But honestly, even pre-pandemic, we've always done mobile check-in and we've always went straight to the room. Like there was one trip when we stayed at Pop just for a short 3-day trip. I never even saw the lobby. I don't even know what the whole property looks like at Pop. Like we just went right to our room, to the park and back to our room. So that part was not anything new for us, but it might be new for some people, who are used to always checking in at the lobby.
Yeah. I think some people like that experience of like going mm-hmm. to the lobby and receiving their map and all the things, but now you really need to do the online check-in to limit contact as much as possible.
Right. And the good thing is about the tower is even if you're not going to check in the lobby, that's still where you go in. So you still get that, you know, get to ooh and ah when you walk into their lobby, because their lobby is amazing. That the tower is gorgeous. It feels very upscale and like a deluxe resort. So that was, you know, I still got like that special feeling. And we tested out our old Magic Bands, even though they had shipped new ones to the front desk, and our Magic Bands from our previous trip still worked. And the phone, I don't know if everybody has tried using their phone, but you could use the app to unlock your door. So everything worked perfect. We didn't have any problems.
Yeah, it's a good point. And if you brought your Magic Bands and they didn't work, you could go to the front desk and they would, you know, do some stuff in their computer system to make sure it did. But it's nice to have options.
Right.
So you liked Grand Destino Tower, it sounds like.
Yes. And I've stayed one night in the rest of the resort at the Ranchos. And I mean, they're really pretty too, but the tower, you know, I love their signature smell. And it kind of just reminds me almost of some of the hotels in Vegas, but obviously a lot smaller. So we kind of just spent the rest of the night just like walking around, because they also have the convention center. And then that's where the gift shop is, over by the convention center. So we went, shopping. And then we went to Three Bridges, which is at the resort. Mm-hmm. And they don't take reservations right now. I don't know if they ever did. And so we walked there maybe around 8. And they said it would be a 40-minute wait, but we got a text message only after 10 minutes. So that was really nice.
And that's outdoor dining, like you're surrounded by water.
Right. Yeah. It's covered, but it's outdoors, but covered. So meaning like all the sides are open, and I've never ate there before, but I've walked by it. And when you kind of walk by the perimeter, it doesn't really look like much, but once you're inside of the restaurant, it's really nice. And it has like little fire pits and a nice bar area. And there's actually, if you ever go there, there's a hidden Mickey up in the rafters somewhere. So I won't give too much away. So we spent some time looking for that. But yeah, we really enjoyed Three Bridges a lot.
Good. Did the tower pose any issues for you with the elevators? Because the number of parties are limited now.
No, for the most part, I think on the last day, it let like more than one party get on if you want them to. But like that day and the next day, we were usually only people waiting anyway. But if there was one other party, the elevator would pop up, a different one would pop up for them. But yeah, they do have cool elevators for people who haven't stayed there before. There's on the outside, you hit what floor you're going to, and then the inside, you don't hit anything on the inside. So on the outside, you say, you know, floor 6, and it tells you which elevator to go to, and almost instantly the elevator comes and you don't press any buttons once you get in, and you just go right to your floor.
Good. So good experience, good dinner at Three Bridges. Sounds like you went to the gift shop, you did all that kind of stuff. So it was really like a resort evening.
Oh yeah. And then we went to, it was a resort evening. But then we went to the lounge on the top floor to, Dahlia's, and we each had a drink there. Actually, I just had tea. Yeah. My husband had a martini. I had tea, and we got to kind of soak in the views, and you could see Galaxy's Edge all lit up at night. So that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to see that.
Yeah. Disney World's not known for its tall hotels, but since right. that one is tall, you get a view that you couldn't get anywhere else, really.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So that's nice. If I recall correctly from your pre-trip report, your next day was going to be your first park day at Epcot.
Yes, so it was, and we didn't change anything about that. And I was determined that we were going to sleep in and not rush. But we actually probably could have made it to Epcot for when they open if we wanted to, but I just made it a point just to kind of take it easy our first day, since we never seem to get a chance to do that when we're there. So we actually went downstairs to the Barcelona in the tower, Barcelona Lounge, for a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And that morning it wasn't busy. We were able to walk up right to the counter. And then also good to know, my husband's phone stopped working on the way down. So he had to file an insurance report, and they have a business center there that we were able to like go on the computer and do what we needed to do to get a new phone sent to us while we were on vacation still. And it's $6 for 10 minutes to use their business center computer. So if anybody needs to use that, and they had like a fax machine and a printer and a copier. So that was really convenient.
And
we didn't have to, but
yeah, I know that's unfortunate. I'm fascinated by the phone being sent to you really quickly too.
Yeah. We would have gotten it the next day, but the kind of the side note, the company didn't like the way we submit the first report. So, it actually took like 3 days to get there. But that's another story. But yeah, so they actually have two business centers. They have one that's bigger but is open later in the day, and then they have like a smaller one that they call their Express Business Center that opens up earlier. So we went to the Express Business Center. Like the convention area is just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very pretty. So after we did that, we headed to the pool to check that out. Because I didn't use the pool when I stayed there last, and it's, you know, decorated for like the Mayan ruins. It has a water slide, and it does not have a big splash area for children, but it does have like a small little pool that looked like it was only like a few inches deep just so they could play around in. But the pool itself was huge. We didn't go to any of the private pools, but yeah, we enjoyed the pool and the hot tub, and there was hardly anybody there.
If people are in the moderate like price range and want a good pool, that's the one to go for is Coronado Springs.
Yeah, we like that. We stayed that at the Caribbean as well, and I really like their pool. So I would say like for adults, I really enjoy the Coronado pool. But if you want like a big, like a better splash area for kids, I like the Caribbean better because they have that little pirate ship with slides and stuff.
Yeah, love it there. So you got coffee and you did pool time before you even headed to a park.
Yes. Yeah, I was determined. I was like, we are going to go to the pool. We're going to relax and then we'll hit the park. And then this was also the day that we wanted to try. I can't remember the last time we took a bus. I think it was on our honeymoon because we're just not bus people. We're too impatient. And we always drive to the parks with our own car, like drive to Disney. So we usually just take our car. So we decided that this would be the best day to try out the bus. And it wasn't bad. We got in line for the bus at 11:50. And then we got to Epcot at 12:10. And I didn't know if all the parks were doing it, but they had like the screening process was so much better this time. Like they don't individually search your bags. You just go through the, I guess it's a metal detector. Mm-hmm. It makes it, I love that. Like, I hope they keep that when everything goes back to normal. It was seamless.
Yes. So much better than having them rummage through your bag.
Yeah. And Epcot, for some reason, always takes the longest. I don't know if you find that true, but, and we always like have a stroller and it just takes forever, but it was awesome getting through and temperature check, just everything was really easy.
You told us before that you had a Le Cellier lunch, so I'm assuming that is coming up pretty quickly.
Well, so I guess I should have started out by saying that I was part of the dining glitch issue. So Le Cellier was already booked 60 days out. So on Tuesday, when I got word through social media about the glitch, well, we didn't know it was a glitch then, but I was like, well, I want to try to move my reservations around. So that day we had Le Cellier, but I was able to move it to 4:05. Because I really wanted to do the booths first and then do dinner. So 4:05 was pretty much like the first dinner seating. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of holding my breath, but they did not cancel that reservation. So that went without a hitch. So we actually went to Pin Traders. The first thing we did when we got into Epcot is we went to Pin Traders and got the Remy scavenger hunt. Mm-hmm. We each bought one. So like with the discount, it was just like $6 and change. And then we just gave you could pick between four different bottles once you complete it. And so we got like one for my daughter, one for my son. So that was really cute. So we just kind of did that throughout the day. But the first thing we did after that was we went to Test Track just because that ride could be going up and down all day. It's very unreliable. So I was like, well, let's just get Test Track out of the way. And that was a 45-minute posted wait time, but of course as we were in line it kept going down, and I don't know why, because like an automated voice would come on and say it was due to the weather, and then right when that was done talking, then a human came on and said it was for cleaning, but it was just like the whole time we were in lines. So I don't know what was really happening, so it took a little longer than 45. I don't know what is up with that ride, but that's why I wanted to get it out of the way and just not think about it. Yes. Anymore. Cause I think last time we were there, I didn't go cause my son wasn't tall enough. So we got that out of the way, and then we were pretty hungry at that point. So we went to, we headed over to World Showcase and went to the citrus blossom booth and got the lobster tail and the citrus chicken. Mm-hmm. And they were both really good. And then we started to look for Remy and we saw O Canada cause I hadn't seen the new one yet. So I don't even know the names of the narrators now, but they have a new narrator. And that was pretty much timed well. You know, we got in line and then they brought us into the theater pretty fast. And, you know, they had the social distancing markers.
What'd you think of the new version?
I was okay with it. And then until they got to the very end, that song was just so boring to me. I thought it was done and I was ready to start walking. And then they started singing that long drawn out song. I'm like, oh my God. So no offense to anybody from Canada, but I was just ready to keep eating around the world.
The narrators are Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, who are fun.
No way.
Yeah, which they're funny people, and the show went from funny to not funny. So there's like,
oh my God.
It's ironic, isn't it?
Because I just got done watching Schitt's Creek, so that was completely on my mind, and I did not pick up on that.
I know, and because I love them. If they were more funny, it might have occurred to you.
But if they should have just done it in their character for that, and then I would have really enjoyed it. But yes. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's no offense to Canada. It's just a different style of show, for sure.
Yes, Canada looked lovely, but just that song. Man, I feel bad now. I love them.
You are not alone in this sentiment, so.
So sad. But then after that, we went. So we started Canada, then we went to France, and we got the escargot puff, is what I call it. And the puff part, I never tried escargot, and I didn't realize the middle of it was all chunky. Like, looking at the pictures, I thought it was going to be more evenly distributed. And then once I noticed, like, the chunks in the middle, I couldn't eat anymore, but my husband really liked it. And then we got the duck. So the duck was a thumbs up from me.
Mm-hmm.
The pastry was not.
Good to know.
Yeah. Then we went to Morocco, all by finding Remy. And we went to their food booth and got the hummus fries because dinner was coming up, even though 4 p.m. is a little early for dinner. So then we headed back to Canada at 4:05. So you do like the mobile, they have a little sign out in front that says to check in on your phone. So we did the mobile check-in, and as soon as we were done, they just so happened to peep their head out and saw us. So even like before we got the table ready message, they just told us to come in and then sat us. And we just got the cheese soup and filet, and it was okay. It wasn't the best we've ever had, but it was kind of just a bucket list cause we never ate there before.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say I would go there again if somebody I was with wanted to, but it wouldn't be on like my top list to try again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I had the same thing when I was there just a couple months ago, and I remembered it being so good. I mean, it's kind of known for that. And right. It wasn't as good as before, and I don't know if the change in staff was part of that. Or, you know, maybe they'll get back. But, you know, the countries were all hit pretty hard. So,
because our waiter did say because they didn't have the cultural representatives anymore. So he was formerly at the Tusker House. So he said basically all the buffet people got put in Epcot to make up for all the cultural representatives that had to go back, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I think I'm with you on your thoughts on the food.
Yeah. So. This, you know, if someone else wants to go there, fine, but I won't be wanting to go there. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like after dinner, we had only done one ride. So then we headed over to Soarin, which is my husband's favorite ride in Epcot. Not like there's a lot to pick from right now. We were kind of sad that Remy wasn't open because mm-hmm. Under normal circumstances, it should have been open. So we obviously didn't do Remy. So we did Soarin, and that was a 15-minute post-await, but it was only 8 minutes. And then, of course, we went right over to Living with the Land, and it was not decorated for Christmas. I don't know if they're going to decorate it this year for Christmas, but in general, that wasn't Epcot was not Christmas that day. I think a few days later, it switched over. But I really want to go back and see it when it's done up for Christmas like they did last year.
Yeah, Epcot usually waits until closer to Thanksgiving, while all the other parks are doing, you know, stuff like around the time that you went, first part of November.
Right.
So.
Yeah, like they weren't doing the cookie thing, which I knew they wouldn't be, but it just, that's what Disney does do. It makes you, it gives you reasons to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. So
it does. It's addictive.
And Living with the Land had a lot of hidden Mickeys for anybody who's interested in that. They had some that I didn't notice last time. And then we went back to the World Showcase to get the Nitro Pop
mm-hmm.
At the Pavilion and the Frozen S'mores drink. And the Nitro Pop, it was very big, but it was like getting warmer. I guess I wasn't eating fast enough, but it was good. I think we got the M&M one.
And she's talking about the cake pop that's between in the World Showplace building that's between Canada and UK.
And they had a lot of different booths in there, but we really didn't have time to hit them all up because we still wanted to walk around and find the rest of the Remy statues for the hide and go squeak, like two little kids. So when we got to Germany, just an FYI, they have the annual pass, because I'm a pass holder and my husband's not. They had the annual pass pop-up shop, and I can't remember the full name, but the teddy bear store. You probably know the full name. But
I actually do not.
I cannot. It's like La Teddy Bear, something like that. But it was in Germany, and there was nobody in line, but they wouldn't let my husband go with me because he wasn't a pass holder, which I get, you know, you don't want big crowds in there. So I could see if somebody was there and they were the only one in their group of friends, maybe. But I was surprised because we're the same household, that they wouldn't let him in. So I didn't go in to see what they had, but just, I don't know if that was just that person or if everybody working the door is like that. 'Cause she was like, almost like a bouncer checking, checking passes, and he did not get in. So we did not go. And then we circled back around and we went to Earth Eats, and I got it's like a little, pot, like a, looks like a clay pot kind of. No, it was actually in a jar this year. Yeah. It was like a clear jar with a chocolate avocado mousse with a crumble on top. And that was really good. I enjoyed that. And then we went to Spaceship Earth, and that was just a walk on and actually did not stop the whole time we were on it. But that was supposed to be down during our trip. So that was working, but Frozen was being refurbished only for 3 or 4 days, which I was really looking forward to doing Frozen, because every time I go on it, I have my kids and they get really freaked out for some reason when they see marshmallow. So I was wanting to go and enjoy it, but it was down, so we didn't get to do that, but we did get to do Spaceship Earth. And then the park closed at 8, and we got to the bus ride at 8, and normally pre-pandemic at the end of the day, the lines are just, you know, crazy for buses, and we just walked right on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really seamless.
When people don't have a nighttime show to stick around for, they tend to leave earlier, it turns out.
Yep, exactly. So no crowding, because there's nothing to stick around and see. So that was really good. And then we just went back and kind of had an early night.
So overall, seems like a pretty good day at Epcot.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that we didn't do many rides, but that was kind of the point, just to kind of chill out. So mission accomplished there.
Okay, so your next day was a Hollywood Studios day, and hopefully they did have some decor.
Yes. Oh, my God. So just before we start, this was another thing that I added during the glitch that we didn't know was a glitch, is Oga's, because on my 60-day point for dining, there weren't any reservations. But, of course, last Tuesday, there were a ton of them. So I kept checking my app because I had a 1210 reservation that I just added, like just waiting to see if they would cancel it. And they did not cancel that. But we'll get to that. But just the preface, I was like looking at my phone every 5 minutes to see if they canceled my reservation.
And I want to say, for people that aren't familiar with this glitch, it appeared that lots of dining had opened. So lots of people went and grabbed those spots because, like you, they had trouble getting it. And then Disney said, actually, that was a glitch. We don't have the capacity for that. And they gave everybody who they canceled their glitch reservations, $25 gift cards for each one. And so you were rightly concerned that that was going to be you. And it just sounds like it didn't happen.
Yeah, so for that, for Hollywood Studios, it did not. So the day for Hollywood Studios really started at 7 a.m. when it was boarding pass day. So now for Rise of the Resistance, as long as you have park reservations for that day, you can get a boarding pass at 7 a.m. And I think Disney says it's anywhere on property, but some people are reporting that they could get it from another state. So I don't really know what is true, but I could tell you that I was able to get a boarding pass from my bed at the tower.
Yeah, you have, so to have park tickets, and you have to have a park reservation for Hollywood Studios, and then you can get it. And how'd that go?
I was such a nerd. I was having like nightmares all night. Like I kept thinking like that I woke up too late. I had to tell myself like, no, your alarm didn't go off. Go back to bed. And I'm not even a huge Star Wars fan. I just really want to try the ride. But I woke up right before 7 and I looked at my Apple Watch, and right before the second hand touched 7, I was already in the app and I hit join and refreshed, and then I was boarding group 61.
Wow.
So I was super happy and pretty confident that with that we would get on, because Rise of the Resistance has installed plexiglass, so they could fit more people on the ride vehicle without like giving away what the vehicle actually looks like. They could fit more. So I was pretty confident and excited. And my husband was like, what are you doing? Like, he didn't understand. Like, I told you what we were doing. But I had to explain to him again. He wasn't as excited as I was, but I don't think he understood. But so then that kind of set the tone for the rest of the day. I knew it was going to be a good day.
Good.
I got that.
So that's 7 a.m., but Hollywood Studios still didn't open for a bit.
Right. Yeah. So that's the day. So as you know, the Wine and Dine half marathon weekend was supposed to be last weekend. So I did go for a very short run just to say I did it, because that's what we were supposed to be doing that weekend anyway. So
love that.
I was already up. So I went ahead and I did that, and I went to their little gym in the tower. I don't know if there's a bigger one somewhere else on property, but the one in the tower is pretty small, and there's only, you know, one other person there, and they have, you know, wipes and hand sanitizer, and it looked really clean. But then we did make sure, you know, even though you don't have to be in the park for the boarding pass anymore, we still wanted to get there early because we wanted to rope drop Mickey and Minnie's railroad. So we decided we were going to drive, and my car wouldn't start because I left the dome light on. So my husband went to the gate. We were parked pretty much right at the gate of the hotel, and they sent somebody right away and jumped us, and we were still in the park by 9:25.
Wow.
So FYI, if your battery dies because you leave your light on, they could help you out pretty fast. And that was the same thing with the security and the temperature check. Like, you just walked on through and seamless. Like, it the lines may look long, but they just move really fast. So as soon as I walked in there, I never saw anywhere in Disney decorate for Christmas. And I really love the decorations. As soon as you walked in, they were beautiful, even during the daytime with them not being lit yet. It was awesome. So we went and got in line for Mickey and Minnie, and on the app, because it didn't open till 10, the app didn't have any wait times posted, but the cast member holding the sign for the back of the line said it would be 70 minutes, but it was only 38 minutes. So pretty much, I mean, I thought that was great, 38 minutes. And as we were in line, we saw the line for Toy Story. I'm assuming they were waiting in line for Slinky, and it extended all the way out to the Voyage of the Little Mermaid. So I don't know how long that line was, but it looked pretty rough. So I was happy that we chose Mickey and Minnie to do first. So we did that, and then we just decided, by then there was a wait time posted for Smuggler's Run. But we just decided to just knock it out, even though it said it was 70 minutes, and then the line extended back into Toy Story Land, but it was only 45 minutes.
It's very hard to judge the lines nowadays.
Yeah, that would be like my one tip, is don't be intimidated when you see the lines, because they have to be long for the social distancing markers. But I thought 45 minutes was really, really good for that. And the queue, and just being in Galaxy's Edge, there's just a lot to look at. And then right after that, we got in line for the Super Zoom shot over by Docking Bay. I don't know if people are familiar with all the Super Zoom shots, but you look at a camera, the photo pass photographer will tell you to look at a camera in the distance. And the shot that shows up on your PhotoPass starts in on your face and body, and then it zooms out so you can see all of Galaxy's Edge. So that was really cool. And I felt bad because there were people getting in line behind us, and they were like, what ride are we in line for? And I was like, it's not a ride. And then they would get out. That happened twice. So it was like a 10 or 15 minute wait, but I thought that was interesting that people thought it was a ride line.
Well, and I think those super zooms are really mostly for people that know what they're doing. Like they know it's there, so they look for it because it's very unassuming. It's just like a globe. It doesn't look like it doesn't look like a camera. It doesn't have a photographer standing next to the tripod like you would expect.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad we waited. It wasn't long. And then after that, then we went to Oga's. So I was in disbelief that it wasn't canceled. So we went to Oga's, and it looked really neat when we first walked in, but we kind of got not sat because there weren't chairs where we were, but we were in like a little cove kind of thing with a shelf to kind of prop your drinks on. So we really couldn't see that much of what was going on. Like we didn't have a good view of Rex. I don't want to like ruin it for everybody, but one of the main parts we couldn't really see, and I didn't want to walk around and take pictures and get in everybody's bubble. So we just kind of, you know, stayed where we were, and we only got one drink each, but I think you could get two drinks each if you want to.
As long as you do it in 45 minutes.
In 45 minutes, yeah. That, and I knew, like, we couldn't, well, I couldn't. My husband probably could have, but I got the Bespin Fizz, and he got the Yub Nub, but he didn't get the souvenir cup. I think it's like $45 if you get it in the souvenir cup, and you could ask to not get it. So if you don't want to buy the cup, they still bring it out in it, and then you just leave it there, and then you don't get charged for it. So if somebody wants to try it but they don't like that it's $45, you could opt not to pay for the cup, which was nice.
Yeah. How did you feel about that fizz?
I liked it. I thought it was good. I think next time I go, I'm going to get the – the one I can't remember the name that like makes your lips tingle or numbs them. Some I'm gonna try that one like, next.
But fizzy tom tom.
Fuzzy tom tom. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I'm gonna do that. Oh, and we got the I can't remember the name, but the not the charcuterie board, but the bites that they have.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking they would probably be like, you know, just pretzel bites or something, but they had it was really neat, and they had I don't know what they were. Just a lot of, I kind of like vegetable chip looking things, and then like this little dip thing that was next to it, but it was really, whatever it was really good to kind of hold us over. And after that, we just kind of walked around, and I downloaded the Disney Parks Play app, I think it's called, to interact with Galaxy's Edge. You can interact with other parts around Disney, but I wanted to, you know, try the little things around Galaxy's Edge. But I guess because I don't know a ton about Star Wars, I kind of lost interest fast, but I just wanted to try it out. But what I was doing, like the phone was telling me to go in certain places and unlock certain things with codes. So I think if for somebody who's a big Star Wars fan that they would find that, very interesting. So we just kind of walked around, and then we got blue milk from the milk stand, which you still, they still make you mobile order, even though it was weird. There was like a big line and people were kind of too close together, and they were all just like looking at their phones. And then they had three people who were making the drinks that were standing there. I think it would have been better, the social distance, if they would just let you wait in line for that one, since they could get the drinks made so fast. But so we had a mobile order that, we got the blue milk, and then we were kind of, you know, periodically checking the app to see what boarding group they were boarding to make sure we weren't going to miss it. And it seemed to be moving along really well. So that was also promising. And then we decided to do, we went to Toy Story Mania, and that was, you know, the same thing, 35 posted, but only 12 minute wait. And then we did Slinky Dog, and that was 70 minute posted and 62 minute wait. And that when we were in line for that, it was 2 p.m., which is the time that if you haven't got a boarding pass at 7 a.m., if you're inside of the park at 2 p.m., you could try again to get a boarding pass, but you have to be inside for the 2 p.m. drop. So we were like right in front of people that were wanting to get it, and we were talking to them and kind of cheering them on, but they did not get the 2 p.m. boarding pass. So I was sad for them. So that was interesting. And let's see, we were going to do the flying saucers in Toy Story Land, but we've done it before, and the line was like, I don't even think I would wait more than 10 minutes. I think it said it was like 20, so I didn't want to do it, but they were playing, Christmas music, which I thought was cute.
It is super cute. I think they alternate it between Christmas and non-Christmas or something, but it is cute.
Let's see. Oh, and then so at 3 o'clock, we got called for our boarding pass. So we were 61, and we got called, and we were able to like walk right up to the first cast member that you'll meet to make sure that it's actually your boarding pass that got called. So we were able to walk right up to them, and it took 25 minutes before like the pre-show, I guess you would call it, started without giving away too much. So I would say like 25 minutes before the main event started.
It's really hard to know what to call. There's so many segments.
Like I don't really know what's the ride and what's not the ride.
What's the pre-show? What's the ride? Who knows?
But there were a lot of people that were trying to get in the line that were, I guess, probably close to being called. So they thought like, oh, I'm going to wait here, and then by the time I get called. But if you can't show them your phone that it's your boarding group, they turn you away. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening, don't even try. They'll tell you to get out. And then we got lucky because when we were done with that, and that ride was amazing. So you don't have to know anything about Star Wars to appreciate the ride. So I encourage everybody to try it at least once. It was awesome.
And earlier, the very first thing you did was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So how did you feel about that one as well?
Oh, I guess I didn't talk about that too much. That one's really, really neat as well. And we were going to try to get on it a second time because I heard that you want to sit in different parts of it and you see different things. And now that we've been on it, I see what those people mean. Mm-hmm. But it was also amazing. Just like I was sad when they took away the Great Movie Ride just because my kids never got a chance to go on it. But this is a worthy replacement, and just not your typical Disney rides.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
Nothing like it.
Now you know that they're worth waiting for when you do get to go back with your kids.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. So we caught a cavalcade. So it was the first cavalcade we saw, because to kind of backtrack, in Epcot, we only caught the end of like one cavalcade, and that's all. So it was nice that we got to watch the Pixar cavalcade at Hollywood Studios. So we finally got to see one. And then we headed to Brown Derby's at 4 p.m. And that was another thing I was worried about, because even though I already had a Brown Derby reservation during the glitch, I modified it to make it later once I got the Oga's reservation, and they did not cancel it. So that was good. So far we didn't have any problems with the dining.
But you know what's weird is I'm really glad it worked out for you, but I feel like a lot of people were affected.
I was seeing some bad things on social media, so I was worried, like even people that maybe changed it by 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, nope, sorry.
Yes, they got it deleted. So,
I think we just really lucked out.
You did. There was something about your reservation that Disney decided not to touch it. So I'm happy for that.
Maybe it's because I said it was our
anniversary.
I don't know.
Yeah. So when they run their database queries, they're like, oh, skip the special occasions. We're not going to
let them go.
We don't want to ruin their anniversary.
But I will say, at all of our ADRs, with it being our anniversary, we didn't get like any special dessert at the end. Like on our honeymoon, mm-hmm. we always got like a congratulations thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's because of the pandemic or what, but we did not get any special anniversary things, but as long as they didn't cancel it, then we're good.
So Brown Derby was good.
Yeah. My husband got the martini flight and I got the Chardonnay flight, and then I got the Cobb salad cause they're really known for that. And I added lobster. He got the Wagyu burger and it was so good. And then the butternut squash soup, because we were going to just get dessert like later on. We wanted to get like some of the seasonal dessert offerings they had, but we ended up not having time. But everything was really good. So I would try that place again, in a heartbeat. I really liked the Brown Derby. But we didn't waste any time. Like our reservation was at 4 and we were already in line for Rock and Roller Coaster by 5. So that was 50 minute post it and actually took 60 because I think the ride went down, because for a while we weren't moving. And then we didn't get to do Tower of Terror yet previous to that, like we had wanted to, because that ride was down actually most of the day. So I knew when it came up, the lines would be, long, and it was a 70 minute posted wait and then it took 65. So by the time we got done with that, the park was, you know, getting ready to close. So we just kind of took in the atmosphere. And when we were done, we sat and watched the tower for a while because the projections on the tower are so pretty. Mm-hmm. I think they had three or four different projections. So I tried to get like pictures of all them. We had already did the photo pass during the day with the tower in the background. So I was hoping to get one at night, but the photo pass photographer was already gone because the park was technically closed by then. So the park hours were over, but they leave all the shops open. But I guess they let the photo pass people go home when the park is supposed to close. But that was just really pretty. I didn't expect to enjoy Hollywood Studios that much. Their Christmas decorations. And we like walked around Echo Lake and took pictures of like the dinosaur and the ornaments in the lake and just all the Christmas stuff. So I was really impressed. So far, Hollywood Studios at that point was like the best day we had over Epcot.
Yeah, I think Magic Kingdom gets so much attention for Christmas, but it's really just Main Street there. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood Studios is more like all-encompassing. It's so delightful.
Even in like Toy Story Land, like they had some stuff up. And of course, like I don't think Christmas exists in Star Wars, so they didn't have anything there that I saw. But yeah, like you said, and it's pretty much everywhere in the park. But I just didn't want to leave the park. So we eventually left and I was just so pumped from just having what I thought was a successful day. I mean, any day that you could do Mickey and Minnie's and ride Rise of the Resistance, I think is a good day. So we tried to go to Disney Springs that night and even we got as far as like pretty much the first turn into it and the traffic was horrible. So we just took an illegal U-turn and went back to the hotel because we didn't want to keep waiting in line. So kind of, you know, when the park's closing earlier, that's what people want to do. They want to go to Disney Springs because it's still open. So just a word of the wise, you might have a little bit of a traffic delay if you want to go there.
Yeah, and that was a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So
that was a Friday.
That adds to it because the locals will turn out for the weekends and make it busier.
Right. Let's see. So Friday night, that was going to be our last night sleeping in the tower because we did a split stay. Mm-hmm. So when we got back, we kind of packed up a little bit. And then next day is Saturday. It was our Animal Kingdom day. So we finished packing and we opted to not use bell service to move our luggage for the split stay to the Contemporary because I don't know why. I guess I have trust issues. I didn't want to get back from Animal Kingdom and get to the Contemporary and not have my stuff. So we just put our luggage in our car because we were driving anyway. So it was nice that we had that option to just move it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a ton of stuff because it wasn't like a super long trip. So we packed our own stuff. We didn't rope drop. That this was another designated kind of, you know, have a lazy morning day. And so Saturday when my husband went to go get coffee at the Barcelona Lounge, there was a very, very, very long line. So it was very different from during the week. So Saturday it was packed. And then we at Coronado, I think it's opening this week or next week, but they didn't have I think it's called El Mercado, like they're kind of quick service, all encompassing place open yet, but they were installing the plexiglass. So we had to go to Rick's, and you can't mobile order, but you could go to the bar and ask for food to go, and it kind of took a little bit. But you know, once we got that, it was fine. So we drove to Animal Kingdom, and last time we drove to Animal Kingdom, for some reason, there was a lot of traffic getting in. But this time it was really easy, and they opened up at 8 and we were there by 9:40. So even though the park had already been open, we still decided to go to Flight of Passage to take our chances. And it was a 55-minute posted wait, but it only took 46 minutes. So like normally it would probably be like a 4-hour wait at that point.
Yeah, it would have been much longer.
So yeah, I was really happy with that. And that was the first time we got to see the queue, because the only time we ever rode it, we had fast passes. So it was nice to be able to see the queue, but yet not have to wait in line for hours.
I think what you just said is a really good point for those of us who are used to fast passing. It mm-hmm. is a really unique opportunity to see the queues. And, you know, hopefully not super long standby times, but enough that you can sort of take it all in.
Yeah, I was happy with that. And then like while I was in line, we mobile ordered for Satouli Canteen. So I started the order, and then right when we got off the ride, I hit "We're here." So by the time we walked down, and that is, you know, right next to it pretty much, by the time we walked down and found a table, and it was really easy to find a table, we already got the notification that the order was ready. So that was seamless. And we've always mobile ordered anyway. We either have ADRs or we mobile order. So that's also not new for us, but I know for some people it might be. But yeah, that was really seamless. And we got the beef bowl, which was one of the best things we had on the whole trip. It's really like unique flavor. The bao buns and the blueberry cream cheese mousse. Mm-hmm. And I was happy with everything. It was really good.
You're making me hungry, Tiffany.
Yeah.
It's lunchtime.
Oh, I would do anything for that beef bowl. let's see. So we did. Oh, so then after that, we went to my favorite ride in Animal Kingdom, which is Expedition Everest. So those familiar like with how the park is set up, the line for Expedition Everest extended all the way out to Nemo. So it looked really ugly, but all in all, it only took 24 minutes, which was nice.
So bizarre, isn't it? It's so bizarre.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is not going to be any less than 45. And it was almost half. So the nice thing about that is you have to wait in line and walk over the bridge. So we were able to see some cavalcades. And all in all, we ended up seeing all that they had to offer that day. The only one we didn't see was the Chippendale Dino Bash, because they just weren't offering it, is what we were told for some reason. And also while we're in line, I got to trade pins, which I didn't see any spots in Hollywood Studios, but there were several spots in Animal Kingdom set up. So they just kind of, you just have to social distance, and then you don't pass the pin back and forth. Like, you point to the number pin that you want, and the cast member pulls the pin off for you and then kind of steps away, and then you grab the pin type of thing. Mm-hmm. So they did it the safest way that they know how. So we did do a lot of pin trading at Animal Kingdom. And then after that, we went to the safari around noon. So even though it was noon, it wasn't super hot, we had really gorgeous weather the whole time. The animals were still pretty active. And it was only a 15-minute wait. So we got to see the lion. So anytime the lions aren't hiding, I consider that a successful safari. Mm-hmm. So we got to see the lions.
Especially during the day. You know, they have at times done nighttime safaris. And mostly I think those are kind of a waste because you can't see anything. But the lions are much more likely to be out at night. So I'm glad you got to see him.
Oh yeah. The only thing that kind of made me sad when we did that is we were supposed to do the Wild Africa trek. Mm-hmm. And you could see the rope bridges that we would be going over. I was like, oh, we were supposed to be mm-hmm. on that rope bridge. But again, that just like made me start planning like our next adult only trip, you know? Mm-hmm. But we will get to do that someday, but that was kind of bittersweet. So after the safari, we did the Gorilla Falls trail, which is always really cool. Because the night before, we were watching Disney Plus, because you could stream Disney Plus to the TV from your phone. And we were watching some Animal Kingdom documentary. So I remembered the gorilla's name. So that was pretty cool. That the night before and then kind of use what you learn. So we did that. And then we did Cali River Rapids, which normally I don't do because I feel like the wait times are so long and the ride is kind of short. But it only took 26 minutes and we didn't get that wet. Which I don't mind. I know some people like put their ponchos on and they don't want to get their hair wet, but I don't mind it. And then we did the Maharaji jungle trek and the tigers were pretty, they weren't necessarily active, but they were laying down, but in view, they weren't hiding and laying down and they were actually like sitting up and looking at you. So that was pretty cool that it wasn't too hot for them where they were hiding. And then we went and got something. I think we got popcorn and we just kind of sat where they used to be able to watch the Rivers of Light show. And we just watched all the cavalcades and just kind of took a break, which is not something we normally take the time to do. So that was really nice. And so they had the Pocahontas and Miko cavalcade, the Santa Claus one, the drummers. And then I think it was like Mickey and Minnie and Pluto, something like that. And then the ducks, we saw Launchpad and I think Donald and Daisy. So there are quite a bit. So I was really happy, you know, cause we're big, character meters. We love meeting the characters and getting signatures. But the cavalcades are really cute too.
Yeah. Maybe if we're getting real greedy someday, we can say, can we have both?
I know. Like, I think they could strike a balance, you know, and have some cavalcades and then maybe do some like virtual line to meet the characters. I think we could be greedy and figure out a way to do both. But that was really fun just to relax. And then we went back to Expedition Everest because that's my favorite ride. And we actually rode it twice. And then this time the line, it went to Nemo, but then it went like into, you know, switchbacks next to Nemo. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, wow, this is going to take forever. But it was the same exact amount of time. So it wasn't long at all.
Good to know.
Again, very deceiving.
I also love that you've talked about it being nice weather because I feel like at Animal Kingdom, you really feel it if it's not good weather. You know?
Yeah.
So it's sounds like it was a good day to be there.
Yeah, we missed out on the most recent like hurricane tropical storm. So we got like so lucky. It was gorgeous. Let's see. And then after that, we went back down towards Pandora and we went on the Navi River journey. But that ride went down a few times while we were in line to the point where like everybody was just sitting and we didn't want to get out of line because we kind of had already done most of everything we wanted to do. So we just took the time to relax. That ended up being an hour. But again, you know, on, you know, pre-pandemic, you could wait a lot longer than that. So that even really wasn't that bad. And then we mobile ordered Flame Tree barbecue. We got the macaroni with the barbecue on it and onion rings and just kind of sat in front of the Tree of Life to watch the, I think they call it the Holiday Awakenings. And they tell like a little story with the animals on the tree. So we got to see that. That was really cute. I don't know how many different stories they had, but we only sat through one. And then we walked around Pandora at night because it looks completely different at night because everything's all bioluminescence and we got more photo pass pictures at night. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I pretty much every time I see a photo pass photographer, I make my husband get a picture and luckily he doesn't mind.
How did you feel about the availability of photo pass photographers this trip?
I saw a lot of them. Like I always thought PhotoPass was worth it. And I don't think the quality changed at all. Like, I feel like all the pictures I got last time, those PhotoPass people were still there. I didn't think there were any less. We got quite a few, especially in Pandora. Like, we went to all the different spots that they had, but I'm like the annoying one that's like, do you have magic shots? I want a magic shot.
Yeah.
Which they probably think I'm annoying, but whatever.
There are a lot of mixed feelings about PhotoPass and Memory Maker and stuff right now, but you can't hand your phone to a photographer right now to take your picture because of, you know, health reasons. But so if you want your picture taken, it's nice that they can do it.
Yeah, so that almost makes it more valuable than before because you don't have that option anymore. But I enjoyed it, and we just had a leisurely stroll out, and then we drove to the Contemporary where we stayed in the main tower, and then like back to the phone thing. Like, we did get the message that our room was ready before we even got back, but my husband's phone was being shipped, and we got it shipped to the Contemporary because it wasn't able to be shipped to our first hotel. I don't know if you can hear my phone ringing in the back.
I was going to say, is that your husband's phone showing up because you're talking about it?
He's like, are you talking about me? Oh, it's our annoying home phone. We get telemarketers. But so we went to the lobby because we didn't really have a choice, and we asked if our package was there. So we were kind of like holding our breath. Not that we didn't trust Disney, but we didn't trust the insurance company. And it was there. We didn't have to wait. He just turned around, went into some room, and pulled it right out. Good. So if you ever need a phone shipped to Disney, it's really easy. You just have to first fight with your insurance company, and then you'll get your phone.
Did they charge you to pick up that package?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, it was seamless. So like my first thoughts of walking in there, it's not the same as when you walk into the tower. It's obviously a different feel. And every resort has their signature smell. And I didn't like the Contemporary smell. My husband did, but I don't know what it is. I just didn't enjoy it. And then we walked into the room, and the room is nice, but it just isn't the same feel as the tower room. Like, so the Contemporary has carpeting. I don't know if the garden wing does still. I know you've stayed there.
Yeah, it does.
So that has carpeting too. Okay. So the carpeting just feels, you know, like a little damp, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. But at the tower, it had like the fake wood floor. So it just has like a cleaner air you're feeling.
When you say the tower, you're talking about the Coronado Springs Grand Destino Tower. Yes. I just want to clarify that because some people call the main building of Contemporary the main tower. So yeah, you are comparing Grand Destino to the main tower of Contemporary.
Correct. Yeah. And I don't know what the DVC tower there looks like, but the main tower at the Contemporary has a very like different feel than the Grand Destino tower. So it was kind of like, oh, okay. But it was a big room. It had like a big desk where if you had to be there on business and you had work to do, there's plenty of room to do it. And it has like an actual balcony that you could sit on, which was really nice. And we had a view of the water, because the theme park view was a little out of our price range, but I was really happy with the view. And it's really just neat walking out of your door and seeing the monorail whoosh by. Mm-hmm. And seeing Space Mountain at night. So it was one of our bucket list hotels. So I'm glad that we did it. But I think if we get a chance to go back again, we'll probably stay at the Grand Destino Tower again.
That is interesting comparison and outcome, because I think they're both really great, but I love hearing your view.
Yeah. But it is nice to have so many options to get to Magic Kingdom, which is why we chose, you know, when we decided we were going to do a split stay, that's why we chose a monorail resort, because of the access to the Magic Kingdom. And then that night we went to I think it's called the Outer Rim, possibly, bar. Mm-hmm. At the Contemporary. We sat there for a little bit, and my husband watched some football that didn't turn out in our favor, but he got over that. And then we went to bed a little early because we knew that the next day was going to be our last day. And I told him, I was like, all right, we're going to like get up and rope drop. Like, this is going to be our go day. So Sunday was Magic Kingdom day, and we were going to walk over, but we decided to do the monorail. So if you take the monorail, they check your temperature. At least at the Contemporary, they checked our temperature inside the resort. And then we got on the monorail at 8:10, and we were inside Magic Kingdom by 8:25. So that was pretty awesome.
It probably would have been very similar timing if you had walked. So yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad that you had such good timing on the monorail.
Oh yeah, like because basically as soon as we got on the monorail, it left, and then you know it's not stopping. It didn't stop at the Poly, so that probably helped.
Mm-hmm.
So like the goal is once we got in the Magic Kingdom, we were gonna like go right to the Mine Train, but when you walk in, it's just so beautiful that I was kind of just like awestruck, and I started just like walking around and taking pictures and. Like forgot what I was even supposed to be doing. I completely forgot my train of thought. And I started walking, like in the bakery. Like usually at night it's very crowded, so I went to the bakery and there was nobody in there. And then I went to like the gift shops, and even though I wasn't going to buy anything yet, I just had to walk through it before it got crazy. And then I was like, wait, we have to go to the Mine Train. Oh my god, the line's probably so long by now, but it really wasn't. We got in line at 8:42, and the park wasn't supposed to open till 9, and it was only a 25-minute wait. So I guess I didn't ruin our plans by walking around Main Street a little bit.
No, but I love that, though. I love that you were just taking it all in because, you know, why not?
And it was pretty much empty still. I got some good pictures, but yeah, it was just funny that I'm like, when we get there, we're going to go right to Mine Train, and we're going to, you know, get all this stuff done before 9 o'clock, and then I was just like, oh... I couldn't help myself.
I do think listeners of this podcast, you know, if you're interested in planning, you're more likely to be that like go, you know, rope drop type of person. But I do think it's good to point out that there's time to do other things now.
Yeah. That's why you're like now it really is a, you know, if you can make it there safely, it's a good time to go mm-hmm. still. So it might not be the, you know, 10-minute wait time for everything like it was in, you know, July and August, but we still had, you know, really good wait times and it was not crowded at all.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, then we went to Big Thunder because that one only had a 15-minute wait, and that's pretty much what we waited. So we went ahead to Big Thunder, and then Splash Mountain is Ryan's favorite ride at Magic Kingdom. So that was a 35-minute post away, but it only took 13. So we pretty much like went right Big Thunder, right to Splash, and then Haunted Mansion said 25, but that only took 10 minutes and it didn't break down. I have bad luck with a ride breaking down when I'm on it. I don't know if you have the same luck with Haunted Mansion, but it actually did not break down.
Nice.
And they're not doing the pre-show in the stretching room right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the last couple times you rode it, we didn't do it anyway. So if, when they do open the pre-show back up, if you have children or adults that don't like that room for whatever reason, you could ask a cast member to skip the room. So our kids don't like the sound of the thunder. So we always, skip that one or with them anyway. So that wasn't really any different for us. And then we got lucky. As soon as we were done with that, we were, I think, in Frontierland, and we saw the Mickey and Friends cavalcade. So that was the first cavalcade we saw. And I have to say, like, I really do like at Magic Kingdom, the cavalcades really work in place of the parades. So I really didn't feel like I was missing anything as far as the parades go. It worked out nicely.
Yeah, and it's less stressful because people aren't lining up for one big parade. It's mm-hmm. more like you just happen to see little bits of a parade.
Yeah, and like if you want to, you could post up and just kind of wait for them all to come by. But mm-hmm. I guess we just kept kind of hitting the parts of Main Street and Frontierland at the right time because I think we saw them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jingle Cruise is back. So the Jungle Cruise was decorated for Christmas already, and they call it the Jingle Cruise. So that was really neat. And there's lots of details in the line, like the little, if anybody remembers the tarantula that's in the box before you get on your boat, that had like a little Santa hat on it. And there's lots of cute little details to take pictures of.
Can you talk about the wait really time cute. There? Because it's been longer than other rides. And then with the Jingle Cruise version, that makes it busy too.
We got lucky. It was posted at 35 and it was exactly 35 minute because you're right. Like throughout the day when I was checking the app, like we would see it a 60-minute posted wait.
Mm-hmm.
And it would usually, you know, be right behind Mine Train. So we got lucky with that. That's kind of when we got off the Haunted Mansion. That's how we decided where we were going to go next, because I noticed that posted wait time had dipped. Mm-hmm. So we ran over there like really quick. And then by the time we got out of line, you could tell that the line was back even further. So I think we picked a good time to go on the Jingle Cruise. But yeah, especially being the Jingle Cruise, everybody wants to go on it because it's different this time of year.
It worked out for you though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We picked a good time. And then after that, we walked right on to the Magic Carpets, which was really cool. It was almost like they were holding it for us. And then we went to Peter Pan, and that was a 30-minute posted time, and that line extended to the Haunted Mansion. But it was only 22 minutes. And again, I got to see the queue because I usually only fast pass it. And I can't remember the last time I saw the queue. I forgot what was even in there. So it was nice to be able to walk through the Peter Pan queue, because that one's really neat. And then we went over, it was 12:30 by then, and we went on Space Mountain, and that was a 40-minute post-it wait, and it was only 26 minutes. And they're not doing at least that day, they weren't doing the single rider line. But it was only 26 minutes anyway. Let's see. Oh, then we mobile ordered from Cosmic Rays. That was the only time that it kind of took a little longer than expected, for my mobile order to be ready. And we only ordered one sandwich to kind of share, cause we wanted to just snack all day pretty much. So we mobile ordered while we're in line for Space Mountain. And then as soon as I got off, I clicked the We Are Here button. And I feel like I waited like 20, 25 minutes. It was a while before it was ready. So while I was waiting, Ryan got in line to get the Twice Upon a Cupcake from the bakery where they have the Starbucks, because that's usually a long line and you can't mobile order there. So he got in line for that. And then I went ahead and I got the chicken sandwich, and then I got the holiday shake at Auntie Gravity's. I think it's called Just a Dream Away. Mm-hmm. It was vanilla and something else. And then it had like a churro in a loop, and it had like these really cute sprinkles whipped cream on it. And the shake itself tasted okay, but the churro, like just sitting in the milkshake, it was really gummy. So probably want to get that again.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a fun picture and a weird texture or something.
Exactly. It was good. It was good for the picture. That was it. And then I don't even remember where I think we ate on Main Street, and we got to see some more cavalcade. So they did let you, you know, sit down on the curb, just like you're watching a parade, as long as you weren't, you know, too close to other people. So we were able to see the princess float, as I call it, and they had their holiday dresses on. And the Goofy cavalcade with Clarabelle, and then Santa. So we finally got to see Santa at Magic Kingdom. And then after we got done with that, we went back to Fantasyland to kind of finish up those rides. And we did Dumbo, was just a walk on. The Barnstormer was just a walk on. And then the Little Mermaid, it said 20 minutes, but it was actually only 5. And that ride didn't break down, because usually every time we're on it, Sebastian comes over the loudspeaker and says that the Sea Witch did something to the ride, but that one didn't break down. I think that was the first time. And then I just had to do Seven Dwarfs again, because there's not many times when you go into Magic Kingdom and you could ride Seven Dwarfs twice. So at that point, the line had extended all the way around and then back up to the Little Mermaid, but it only took 35 minutes. So while we were waiting in line, that's when they turned on the lights for the castle, the projections. So if anybody is going soon on that day anyway, it might change as the days get darker earlier. They turned them on at around 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty to see. And then because of the time of day, Ryan wanted to go back on to Splash Mountain so he could see the castle lit up when you go down the final drop. So then we headed back over there and did Splash Mountain, and that only took 17 minutes.
You have a good view of the castle up there too.
On Splash Mountain. We tried to get pictures, and it obviously came out horrible. It was just a blur. But we tried, but yeah, that was a really pretty view of the castle. So we got to do Splash twice and Seven Dwarfs twice. And then we finally went after Splash, we went over the Pirates because for some reason Pirates had a pretty long post-it wait time throughout the day. I don't know if people were expecting like Pirates dressed up for Christmas or whatnot, because I know they do special things for Halloween, but it dropped down to a 20-minute wait time, and that was the actual time we waited, so that wasn't bad. And then we kind of just putzed around a little bit and took pictures of the castle and try to get a picture of all the different projections. It was just so pretty. Like, I like the decorations, but I still think Hollywood Studios is my favorite just because I think they're more spread out. But at nighttime, you know, Magic Kingdom is definitely breathtaking when you see it all lit up. So we wanted to go on the Astro Orbiter to see the castle and get the view of the park from the Astro Orbiter. And that was a walk on. We walked right onto the elevator and onto the ride. And then we just kind of slowly left the park. Like, I didn't want to leave Magic Kingdom.
It was your last park. And
I know. But yeah, it makes me want to go back for Christmas time again so bad. But even longer next time. And hopefully for a Christmas party. But it was so pretty.
And just go to Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios.
Yes. I wouldn't mind that. They were just so pretty. And then we had California grill reservations for 9:15, which normally you might be able to see fireworks, but being able to go up there and still see views of the castle was pretty amazing. They still let you back out on the observation deck, even though there aren't any fireworks. And we really enjoyed that meal a lot. I think I got the filet, even though I had already had filet at La Cellier, because it wasn't that great. I got it again, and California Grill was much, much better. And it was cooked to the temperature that I asked for. I forgot to mention that La Cellier was a little overdone. But they cooked it, you know, to the right temperature. And then we also got dessert there, and I was again bummed because it didn't have like a special little anniversary thing, but it was good. That's how we ended our last park day. And I forgot to mention too about the dining glitch. The only problem we had was on Saturday after Animal Kingdom, I was able to finally get Sanaa, and it was for right when the park closed, and that was the one that was canceled on me. So they don't call you or anything. You just, like, I got an email and it said, here's your e-gift card. So I was like, oh no, what did they cancel? So I looked and it was Sanaa, which, you know, it's not like that was one I had planned for 60 days. So it's just something I have to put on my list for next time.
Yeah. I wonder if they canceled based on availability, like maybe the ones that you did modify or book just happen to have openings. Or something.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of. They just, some, you know, even though every single day Oga's didn't have openings when I looked, I might have just got lucky and picked the one slot that was actually like a true opening. But yeah, so that was all in all for all the reservations and changes I made during the glitch day to only have one of them canceled. I felt very lucky because I know that other people are complaining about it being much worse for them. So that was fine.
Well, that sounds like a lovely way to end a trip.
It was like, you know, some people like to do Magic Kingdom their first day just because when you think of Disney, a lot of people think of Magic Kingdom, but it's also really a nice way to end it too.
It is. Absolutely. And if you have time, you can start it and end it, but you had 4 days, so you did one of each. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Then the next day we just kind of, we always go to Disney Springs on our last day. We never do a park on our last day. So we just kind of putzed around and did like our shopping for our friends and our family. And little good to know thing, my favorite Disney character is Lucifer the cat. And it's really hard to find anything with him on it. But I found a dish towel with all the Disney cats and he was on it. And then a cast member told us to go to the Art of Disney and told us that they had a catalog that you could go through and that he might be there. So when I went there, a cast member showed me like a sketchbook catalog, and they actually had two or three different pictures of him. And if you purchase it, they have usually two artists working there, and they actually sketch that for you. And you could pay a little extra if you want to add different colors to it. And they just kind of make it there on the spot for you. So if anybody's kind of looking for something special at Disney Springs, or maybe a character that you don't see elsewhere, check out the Art of Disney. So I'm going to do that next time. That was our last thing, and I didn't want to wait, but I'm going to get it when I go back.
Good to know. And when you said catalog, the way you said it made me think it was a book of cats at first.
Yeah. catalog.
No, it's a.
I wouldn't mind that, but
just a catalog that happened.
And it was a digital catalog that you kind of thumb through, and you can't search. They had another catalog where you could search, but that was for more like paintings. Whereas this one was just like the actual like sketches of characters that look like a storyboard. So the cast member was nice enough to like explain everything to me, even though I wasn't buying anything, like he still took the time. So when I go back in February, I'm going to do that.
Good. So that answers that question. When is your next trip?
Yeah. So it was supposed to be January for the marathon weekend. But that was canceled. And because my husband was already working that weekend anyway, and he had a switch to get off, we just decided to cancel it because it wasn't convenient to begin with. And then I was supposed to run the princess half in February with my friend, and obviously that was canceled, but she still wants to go because she was really looking forward to just having some alone time away from, you know, her kids and just taking a break. So she still wants to go. So we are going to go there in February and just do, we're driving down again and we're doing 3 park days. We were originally booked at Pop Century, but when they dropped the discounts for annual pass members, I switched to Caribbean Beach, and is actually, I think, $140 cheaper than what we were going to pay at Pop.
Wow.
So I'm excited about that. I'm hoping maybe we'll have fireworks by then, possibly. We could do a dessert party. We'll see.
We'll see. We just have to play it by ear these days.
Yeah. But even if they don't change a thing, like I still had a really good time, so I know I'll have a good time in February.
Good. Well, I'm glad you had a good trip, and I appreciate you taking the time to share. I know we've got 6 weeks of holiday traveling left, so anybody who's going will probably find it helpful. And if you can't go, it's kind of nice to hear about the people that are.
I know. I hope so. I just, that was like my main thing. I hope that I help somebody either, like you said, plan for their trip so they know what to expect, or to help hold them over until they can get to the parks.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me so much.
And I hope you enjoyed Tiffany's report. I think that'll wrap it up for this episode. For information on this episode and to see pictures, you can head to the show notes in your app or go to the website www.prepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, and go to episode 260. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.